This is Radio Hangar. I'm Taildragger, and I want to start today not with an engine but with a smell. Walk into the Stephen F. Udvar Hazy Center out by Dulles, and you get that particular perfume of a big collection. Cold concrete, a little machine oil, the faint sweetness of old dope and fabric. You wander past the Enola Gay, past the Blackbird crouched down low, past a Concorde with her needle nose, and somewhere in all that steel and aluminum, you come to a little thing hanging from the rafters that doesn't look like much. It's small, barely 20 feet long, cherry red nose, stubby little wings. If you didn't read the placard, you might think it was some kind of racer, or a test glider, or a toy. Pull up a chair, because that little airplane is one of the most disturbing objects in the whole museum, and it deserves to be understood. That's the Yokosuka MXY-7 Oka. In Japanese, Oka means cherry blossom, and it was built for one purpose only, to be flown by a living man straight into the side of an American ship. Today's show is brought to you by AviationSoul.com, aviation challenge coins for every milestone in flight. First solo, private pilot, instrument rating, all the way up, if you've earned it, they've got a coin for it. Every coin tells a story. Check them out at AviationSoul.com, and I promise you the coin in your pocket tells a better story than the one I'm about to tell you. Now, let me set the scene, because you have to understand where Japan was by late 1944. The war in the Pacific had turned. The great carrier battles were lost. Experienced Japanese pilots, the ones who'd trained for years, were mostly dead. Fuel was short, aluminum was short, and the American fleet was getting closer, ship by ship, island by island. Out of that desperation came the kamikaze, the special attack units, young men in ordinary airplanes told to trade their lives for a ship. But an ordinary airplane loaded with a bomb is a big, slow target. American gunners got very good at knocking them down before they ever reached the deck. So somebody in the Imperial Japanese Navy asked a cold, terrible engineering question: how do we make the man and the bomb arrive too fast to stop? The answer was the Oka. Here's how the thing actually worked. And this is where the engineering gets grim and fascinating at the same time. The Oka couldn't take off on its own. It had no way to get airborne. Instead, they bolted it to the belly of a bomber, a Mitsubishi G4M. The Americans called that bomber the Betty. The Betty would carry the Oka and its pilot up to altitude, out toward the American fleet, like a mother carrying something under her wing at maybe 20,000 feet, and within 20 miles or so of the target, the pilot would climb down into the Oka. They'd release him. And now he's a glider, a heavy little glider with a warhead in the nose, falling toward the sea. He'd line up on a ship, and then he'd light the rockets. Three solid fuel rockets in the tail, no throttle, no second chances, just fire. In a shallow dive, that little cherry blossom would accelerate to something better than 500 miles an hour, some accounts say closer to 600 in the final plunge, faster than almost anything the American gunners were used to leading, and in the nose, better than 2,600 pounds of explosive, more than a ton of it, aimed by a human being who was never coming home. That was the whole airplane. A guided missile, and the guidance system was a buoy. Now here's where it gets interesting, and where the cold arithmetic of war turns against the people who did the math. The Oka's fatal flaw was the same as its reason for being. It couldn't fly itself to the fight. It needed the Betty. And the Betty, with a 2-ton glider strapped underneath, was slow, heavy, and sluggish, a sitting duck. The very first big operation with these things in March of 1945 was a disaster for Japan. A formation of Bettys carrying Okas got intercepted by American Hellcat fighters long before they ever reached the fleet. The Bettys were so loaded down they couldn't run and couldn't maneuver. The Hellcats shot every single one of them out of the sky. The Okas went into the ocean still bolted to their mother ships, their pilots dead without ever seeing a target. The American sailors who did meet the Oka in combat gave it a name. They didn't call it cherry blossom. They called it the Baka bomb. Baka is a Japanese word. It means fool or idiot. That was the sailors' verdict on the whole idea, scrawled on a weapon that cost young men their lives for very little return. And that's the hard truth of it. For all that terror, the Oka sank very few ships. It damaged some. It killed sailors. Yes, on the destroyer Mannert Elabele and a few others. But as a weapon measured coldly, it was a poor trade even by the brutal logic of its makers. It asked everything of the pilot and delivered very little in exchange. So why does it matter? Why do I want you to go stand under it? Because when you're standing in that museum, surrounded by airplanes, we celebrate. Airplanes built to bring their crews home, the Oka is the one built to do the opposite. And the men who flew it were not so different from the young men in our own airplanes. 18, 19, 20 years old, they loved to fly too. They had mothers waiting. Somebody strapped them into a machine with no landing gear. because it was never meant to land, and told them their country needed their death. There's a detail I can't shake: cherry blossom. The Japanese chose that name on purpose. In their culture, the cherry blossom is beautiful precisely because it falls so fast, blooms brilliant for a few days, and then it's gone. They named a suicide weapon after the most fragile, fleeting, beautiful thing they knew, and they meant it as a compliment to the boys who die in it. That right there is the whole tragedy of the thing hanging in the rafters at Udvarhazy. We fly for a lot of reasons. Freedom, mostly. The pure joy of leaving the ground and coming back down when we're good and ready. Every airplane I love was built around getting the pilot home. Fuel reserves, redundant systems, a seatbelt, and a plan. The whole culture of aviation, the safety culture we grumble about sometimes, exists to bring you back to the ramp alive.
The OCA is what airplanes look like when a nation gives up on that idea. And I think you should see it once, and stand there quiet for a minute, precisely because it's the shadow of everything we cherish about flight. My thanks to the Smithsonian's National Air and Space Museum for keeping that hard piece of history where people can face it, and to the naval historians who've documented the special attack unit so carefully over the years. You can find the OCA on display at the Udvarhazy Center in Virginia, and there's more from the show over at RadioHangar.com. Go hug your airplane this week. It was built to bring you home. Not every pilot in history got to say that. This is Taildragger, and I'll see you back in the hangar.